CBS News Special Report. Here's correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Well, the House and Senate remain in a state of suspended animation, both in recess now, as the Capitol Police, along with D.C. Police, slowly begin the process of clearing both the East Front and the West Front of the Capitol of the thousands of protesters, demonstrators, marauders, who have besieged the U.S. Capitol today, breached the Capitol, and disrupted the process of counting the electoral votes. Let's listen to this recap from CBS News.
CBS News Special Report.
Smashed glass, gas masks, and shouts after pro-Trump supporters forced their way into the U.S. Capitol after a speech the president gave, calling on them to march there over false claims the election was stolen from him. But just a half an hour ago, after hours of chaos, the president tweeted asking his supporters to go home.
This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace.
President-elect Joe Biden spoke before Mr. Trump did.
I call on this mob to pull back and allow the work of democracy to go forward.
CBS News now estimates that Democrat John Ossoff will win the Georgia runoff race against Republican incumbent David Perdue. CBS News projects control of the U.S. Senate will shift from Republican to Democrat in the 116th Congress. CBS News Special Report. I'm Allison Keyes.
And I'm Steve.
From the downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk 830 WCCO, this is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
402 on CCO, this is Laura Oakes. We just want to catch you up on what's happening locally in relation to the action in Washington, D.C. this afternoon. A group of protesters who support President Trump have made their way from the state capitol to outside the governor's residence on St. Paul's Summit Avenue this afternoon. They're demonstrating against action in Congress earlier today that started to certify the election in favor of President-elect Joe Biden. They have been waving flags and shouting obscenities, but have remained peaceful so far. A few dozen state troopers are in the front yard guarding the home. Governor Walz, meanwhile, with some reassuring words for Minnesotans today.
As you're watching things unfold and as stability gets brought back in, know here in Minnesota that we understand this, that when our politics gets to the point where everything becomes so fractured, it's very difficult, and it's very difficult to run society that way. And so I want to acknowledge that eyes are on what's happening in D.C., but also to acknowledge here that the Minnesota way of doing things is still stable. We disagree on certain things, but our values are the same.
Members of Minnesota's congressional delegation are all safe amid the chaos in Washington, and all are calling for an end to the violence.
Congresswoman Ilhan Omar tweeting she's drawing up articles of impeachment, saying, quote, "It's a matter of preserving our republic, and we need to fulfill our oath." Reporters during the evacuation overheard Congressman Dean Phillips shout, "This is because of you," apparently directed at Republican colleagues. He later told media, "This has been brewing for 4 years." Republicans like Congressman Pete Stauber and Tom Emmer both condemned violence and said protesters need to respect law enforcement and law and order. Sloan Martin, News Talk 830, WCCO.
And I'm Laura Oakes. We now send you back to CBS Radio News.
Freedom and democracy that they have admired so long. I think it is a very, very sad day for American democracy, American politics, and in American history.
Several hundred demonstrators, protesters, members of the mob, as it were, are right now still gathered on the west front of the Capitol, actually besieged. They have besieged the platform on the west front, where in 2 weeks Joe Biden will take the oath of office as the next president of the United States. The president-elect in Wilmington today said this is not protest, it's insurrection. Leonard Steinhorn, can you think of any other historical parallels to what's going on Capitol Hill today?
Well, look, you've had random protests here and there that have sort of protested at the Pentagon. They've gone and marched on the Mall. They've marched on Washington. But it's all been peaceful. Nobody has actually stormed into the Capitol to do anything like this en masse. And that's where it gets deeply troubling, because this is not just a protest over a policy. This is not just a protest over historical injustice. This is a protest that goes to the very heart of our democracy, our elections, and our freedom. So the whole idea and notion of overturning an election has to remind you of the type of sort of insurrection that took place at the start of the Civil War, when people did not confer legitimacy on the election of Abraham Lincoln. Now, this will by no means at all, you know, rise to that level.
Hey, Lenny,
but the spirit behind it,
Lenny, yes. Forgive me, I'm going to have to cut you off. There's some activity going on the west front of the Capitol. I want to see if we can listen to it on our CBS TV coverage. I see flashbangs and smoke coming out of the west front.
Just in the last couple of minutes, we're just seeing things escalate a bit here. We have 5, 6, or 7 or so bangs and more smoke. But what is remarkable to me is that we don't see too many in the crowd moving toward the exit. They're just sort of camped out there. No matter what law enforcement does in terms of these flashbangs and tear gas, they're just sort of camped out there. All right, so things have calmed down a little bit. I don't know if law enforcement is going to start another round of these flashbangs.
You can see the law enforcement right on one of the arches of those windows, pushing supporters out, actually.
Yes.
That's what it looks like, saying, get out.
Yeah,
it looks like they're calling out of other offices. Yes,
having already penetrated those rooms by breaking the glass and climbing in. This is a very narrow balcony on the west front, so to get these people off of here, they're going to have to find a staircase to get them to. And you can see people now rubbing their eyes,
yes,
and sort of ducking their heads
and
from what is
larger numbers than we've seen before coming out of that central
entryway
with two doors, and you see people withdrawing. It's essentially withdrawing.
Yeah.
Pulling back, quite obviously under threat of arrest and other consequences, and more flashbangs. You can see the chemical irritant, whatever it is. We don't know precisely what it is.
And here comes it. You can see a... You can see a... You can hear Jeff say definitely tear gas.
And Jeff, why do you say it's definitely tear gas?
Well, just the color of it, it's this yellow.
Yes.
There's this yellow tint to that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
We do have flashbangs mixed in there. I think I got that right. We do have some former law enforcement with us. They're here helping us describe some of the flashes and the bangs that we're seeing. But clearly this is that point that we thought would come, where police are stepping up their efforts to clear the Capitol building. That's what you're seeing right now. And now you see this, it looked like a firecracker, but it's not. It's obviously a flashbang as they try to clear people out.
Extraordinary scenes playing out on the west front of the Capitol. CBS News correspondent Jeff Pagaz there describing what he sees and has identified as tear gas being fired right at the entrance in the west front of the Capitol. There are flashbangs. The effort is on now to clear the hundreds of people who have been camped out on the west front of the Capitol, holding Trump flags and the Gadsden flag, and in some cases the Confederate flag, at the U.S. Capitol. And now the more flashbangs, more smoke, and we are starting to see the police essentially take back the people's Capitol. CBS News political analyst Leonard Steinhorn is with us. Lenny, definitely another sad, historic scene playing out before our eyes and ears.
It's a sad and historic scene, but ultimately we have to ask some very serious questions about ourselves and ask about how we've gotten to this point. I mean, when the President of the United States basically says that the entire election was corrupt, it was only corrupt, of course, in the states that he lost, not in the states that he won. You have to ask questions about where he stands, what he's done, and how he's responsible for some of this. In a now deleted tweet, his daughter, Ivanka Trump, urged what she called American patriots to halt the violence. Now, urging people to halt the violence is good, but do you want to call people American patriots who are storming the Capitol, disrupting the certification of the Electoral College and the validation of a free, safe, and secure election? This is very troubling. These are not patriots. They may think they are, but they are people who want to undermine the very structures of our government, and they are showing their intent and their actions through what they have done today.
Mitch McConnell, as he was beginning the debate in the Senate today over the objection that had been raised by Republicans to the electoral votes from Arizona, said that he saw those challenges as essentially a direct assault on the American system of government. Since this scene has unfolded this afternoon here in Washington, there have been new calls today by not just some of the president's most ardent critics, but also some of his backers at times, for efforts, renewed efforts, just in his last 14 days in office, to in some way remove the president from office. This afternoon, there's discussion about somehow invoking the 25th Amendment, and in fact, Ilhan Omar, the newly reelected Democrat from Minnesota, said today that she would draft articles of impeachment, which, as you, Leonard Steinhorn, know, would be a privileged resolution on the House floor that could see the House for a second time voting to impeach this president even in his final days in office.
Well, and I think to many people this is fully merited, but this isn't a partisan issue, as you said earlier. You have some very strong conservatives who are saying this has crossed a line. This president should be removed from office to basically give a wink and a nod to create a permission structure for this type of behavior in our democracy is something we have never seen in our entire life. You had Bill Clinton impeached for an inappropriate sexual act, and yet the current president is basically urging his people toward a form of insurrection by taking over the capital of the United States. Now, he will try to have complete sort of a denial and say that, no, this is what he didn't intend. This got out of hand. But the bottom line is when you go around the country and say the election system is corrupt, that he won in a landslide, that all of these public officials are some part of a conspiracy to undermine our Constitution and our government, you are effectively urging people who are listening to you and trusting you to do something hazardous to our democracy.
The president's former Homeland Security Advisor, Tom Bossert, tweets, quote, "This is beyond wrong and illegal. It's un-American. The president undermined American democracy baselessly for months. As a result, he's culpable for this siege and an utter disgrace. Despite of him, says Tom Bossert, not because of him, police will regain control and prosecute those involved. Police are increasingly taking control of the west front of the Capitol. They are beginning to gently clear out and push out these marauders who have taken over the west front platform where 2 weeks from today, Joe Robinette Biden Jr. will be sworn in as the 46th president. Today, Joe Biden in Wilmington called on President Trump to, quote, step up, go on television, and demand an end to the siege. The president did issue a Twitter video about an hour ago, but his first words were to his supporters saying, quote, I know your pain, I know you're hurt. But the president said, you have to go home now, we have to have peace. And he added this line, we can't play into the hands of these people. Leonard Steinhorn, it seems like the president was talking in code to his supporters that perhaps it's not such a good look what it is they've done today.
Well, it makes you think of what he said in that first debate about the Proud Boys, you know, stand back. Be ready to act when you need to act on something like this.
By my estimate, probably about 1,000, couple thousand people perhaps. You really don't have enough law enforcement here to push all the and to clear this scene. So I'm still waiting to see if we're going to see more law enforcement showing up here to help calm this situation down, because it's still relatively volatile. You have a crowd here, or people in this group, on. You know, I just walked up there a few minutes ago and I heard someone say, this is civil war. I mean, these are the things that you're hearing in this crowd. And just behind me now, you see another smoke. We heard that pop.
And, Jeff, I misspoke earlier, but sunset is at 5:01. So, wintertime, it comes quite early. So we're just half an hour now from sunset. And it's already a very rowdy and mob-like crowd, and that's one of the concerns. As Jeff Begay's noted, some have gone home, but others are waiting for that confrontation. Jeff, I've been asking all day for a summary of the number of law enforcement that have been called in to help. Do you know what that is?
Well, we don't have exact numbers, but we know that about 300 members of the National Guard were activated for this day here in D.C. And you had, obviously, you had Metro Police Department officers here as well. You have Capitol PD. So there should be a sizable force of law enforcement. But what we've seen is that today, at least, they've been slow to react. I mean, everybody knew going into this day that there would be this march toward the Capitol. Everybody knew that. But for some reason, it just appears that law enforcement today was slow to react to the number of people who descended on Washington for this event that they called Save the Save America event. And so what you see behind me is the result of that. You had this massive crowd gathering here on the Capitol steps, some people climbing the walls here, and law enforcement seemed to be caught flat-footed here responding to this. So it'll be interesting to see how they get this situation under control.
CBS News correspondent Jeff Pagaz in a live report recorded some time ago in which he describes somebody falling off the Capitol building, and the D.C. EMS and Fire Department tells us that that person is suffering from abrasions and fractures. At least 7 people have now been transported to hospitals. A woman has been shot in critical condition and is still in critical condition as far as we know, and that's the only person that we know who was shot. And shots were fired today at the U.S. Capitol. 2 people apparently suffered from cardiac arrest inside the Capitol, both of them civilians. Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, was seen at the Hart Senate office building. He passed by reporters, and the question was asked of him how this is all going to play out tonight. Let's listen.
We're ready to go. Let me just say this real quick. Yeah. We're ready to go back to business. We're going to go back and do business.
So what is the plan? How are you going to do that?
What's
going to
happen next?
Now, we plan, as soon as they get everything cleared and everything, I'm out in the office real quick, but I'll be back down, but we're going to go back and do our business. We're going to go back and do our business.
In the Capitol building?
Well, we sure hope so. We'll stay whatever it takes. These thugs aren't running us off.
Tonight or tomorrow,
Senator? Is there another location?
Tonight. We're going to finish tonight.
Do you think it's going to be tonight? I mean, a different location.
Everyone's committed to staying whatever it takes to get our job done.
But here, would it be in the Capitol, or do you have to go to another location?
I think it's going
to
be back in our Capitol. We're just clearing out the chamber now and everything, and clearing out the house so we can go back and forth and do our work.
Is everyone unified in there, Senator, in a message?
They have the way of bringing us together, doesn't it?
You're still going to go through with the objections?
I have no idea what they're going to do. You have to ask the ones who object.
But were you in Hart 216 just now?
Yeah.
Were you in there? What was the mood like in there?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's together.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Democrat Joe Manchin saying the hope is to continue on with the constitutional and legal process of counting the electoral votes. He said, we're not going to let these thugs are not running us off. He says, we'll do whatever it takes. The hope is to finish tonight. Now, a question was asked of Senator Manchin as to whether he expects that Republicans will continue with their objections, which, as you know, force 2-hour debates for every objection in the House and Senate separately, and then the two houses have to reconvene. So here it is, about 5:30 p.m., darkness has fallen over Washington, D.C., a 6 p.m. curfew is about to take effect, and the question is, are Republicans, when the House and Senate are able to get back in session, are they going to continue with these debates? Are they going to continue to force these questions to be asked and the debate to be held for 2 hours each in the House and Senate and drag this into all hours of the night or perhaps tomorrow if an agreement to that effect can be reached? These are questions we don't have answers to. Let's get a recap of the latest headlines from CBS News.
CBS News special report. The sounds of explosions at the U.S. Capitol. Possibly tear gas canisters or flashbangs in the last 20 minutes as protesters remain in and outside of the U.S. Capitol building. Protesters forcing lawmakers to leave their chambers. Many are still in secure areas. President Trump telling the protesters to leave.
You have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt.
And President-elect Biden with his reaction.
I am genuinely shocked and saddened that our nation, so long the beacon of light, has come to such a dark moment.
There have been sounds of gunfire, some skirmishes inside the Capitol building. All this taking place as the House and Senate were set to certify Mr. Biden's election as president. That process started. It's unclear when it will resume. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Futterman.
And I'm Stephen Portnoy as we continue our special CBS News live coverage of the siege on Capitol Hill. Capitol Police appear to have made inroads here, trying to clear out the west front of the Capitol, at least the platform that's going to be used for the president's inauguration, President Biden's inauguration, 2 weeks from now. The protesters, demonstrators, the mob, if you will, continues to gather, however, in front of the Capitol. And I wonder whether, if that crowd can be controlled, whether that would be enough for the proceedings to get back underway in the House and Senate. And we don't have an answer to that, but the hope is, on the part of both Democrats and Republicans, that that can be done. Democrat Tammy Duckworth, the Democratic junior senator from Illinois, said that she had heard, or rather, I should say the question was put to Senator Tammy Duckworth. It was Major Garrett heard from a source of his who had told him that perhaps on the House side, the House might wind up reconvening. At least this was the report to Major Garrett, that the House might wind up reconvening in the House Ways and Means Committee hearing room, the largest of the committee hearing rooms on the House side, which actually is in one of the House office buildings across the street from the Capitol. At least that was the possibility earlier today, and Tammy Duckworth said that that wouldn't be such a bad idea, and she's a former member of the House. She knows the room well. CBS's Steve Dorsey knows these rooms well, too. He's our congressional correspondent. He's up on Capitol Hill in an undisclosed location at last report. Steve, where are you? Is everything safe and sound where you are? Stand by, Steve Dorsey. Just one moment, please. I have to make sure that we can get you on the air here. Steve Dorsey, if you can hear me, go ahead, please.
I can hear you, Stephen. I was just told moments ago, I'm still at the same location, to not expect to go anywhere. We cannot leave. And this is all unfolding as outside, a half hour to go until the 6 p.m. curfew, armed police officers and federal agents are pushing thousands of people away from the Capitol building. They're launching rubber bullets. One of our producers on the ground said he saw part of a man's face, in his words, blown off by these rubber bullets. They're trashing these protesters' media equipment and parts of the U.S. Capitol complex. Tear gas is being launched, all as police try to make a wider perimeter outside, but also inside, methodically looking for any protesters, any marauders that they missed earlier. This comes as leaders of the House and Senate pledged that they will continue to work tonight, somewhere, somehow. As you said, they don't necessarily need to return to their respective chambers. They can work elsewhere. And this all comes as many of them are sheltering in place in other parts of Capitol Hill, guarded by police, as the next few hours determine how the rest of the night will unfold, Stephen.
That's right, Steve. And remember, you were covering the proceedings in the House and Senate chambers, the debate over whether to accept or reject the objections from Republicans to counting the electoral votes from Arizona. Is it your sense from where you are that preparations are being made one way or another, or can you not tell?
It's hard to tell. The most I can say is that what we're doing, members of the press, members of the press corps gallery staff, are doing what most of Capitol Hill is doing. Staying in place, guarded by police, locked away. There's not much opportunity, this is key, to do the movements and conduct the regular course of business that Capitol Hill is accustomed to. You can't visit other buildings. You can visit other offices. In fact, people are still locked inside their offices. When police first escorted us from our workspace in the House side, just feet from the House gallery, where armed guards had their guns trained on protesters trying to break through a barricade to the entrance of the House chamber, they thumped on the door like they were about to break in. to let us know that they were Capitol Police. They were going to enter and to open the door now. So this is something that you can't conduct business in right now, especially business of the people. So it's clear that they could try to investigate some other location, even as they try to restore some sort of order in the Capitol building itself. And I can now see through television reports on Capitol Hill, police forming a barrier, a chain, armed police dressed in riot gear that we've seen so much over the last year, now trying to advance this perimeter, a tactic that we've seen so often here in Washington.
CBS's Steve Dorsey on Capitol Hill in a secreted location, under guard and squared away, along with other reporters who were evacuated from the House Radio and Television Correspondents Gallery earlier today. At a time of tremendous tension on Capitol Hill, when the building had been breached by this mob, when shots had been fired inside the Capitol, tear gas had been deployed, and the Senate chamber itself had been breached by some of these marauding protesters. Our CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports that on the West Lawn, things appear to be clearing out. He supposes that it was the use of flashbangs and perhaps tear gas, or maybe he suggests the biting cold has something to do with it. It might also have to do with the curfew that's taking effect about 25 minutes from now. But in any case, Chris Van Cleve reports people are beginning to leave Capitol Hill, and that perhaps is a good sign. The question is, where are they going to go? Steve Dorsey, you have in the last months been covering some of these clashes between Trump supporters and their opponents on the streets of D.C.
Yeah, we've seen this with the Proud Boys, that extremist group that has been supporting President Trump. They clashed with police throughout downtown D.C., and we saw many of these same members that are here outside the Capitol elsewhere in Washington, at the Ellipse mainly, where they were riled and his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who called for a combat-style, a confrontational protesting tonight in the wake of what appears to be a projected defeat for both Republican Senate candidates in Georgia. And as this joint session tallies the electoral votes, officially declaring, with Vice President Mike Pence presiding, that President-elect Joe Biden will indeed take office when crowds or at least lawmakers return here for inauguration on January 20th. That protesters climbed onto the scaffolding and staked their claim, and then breached and stormed and overwhelmed the small group of Capitol Police, making their way into at least the Senate chamber and then confronting and clashing with police as they tried to secure and seal the House chamber.
We are watching live pictures as D.C. Police and Capitol Police work in coordination to continue clearing what looks to be the east front of the Capitol. That's on the side opposite. No, I'm sorry. That is the west front, because I can see them all behind it. It's a ground level shot, so it's hard to tell. But this is the west front of the Capitol, where the effort is being made to continue, now at this point, gently but forcibly removing the protesters from the scene so that the business of the people, as Steve Dorsey aptly describes it, can continue in the debates in the House and Senate on the objections raised by Republicans to the electors being counted. Point's been made. This is normally a perfunctory process that occurs. It's occurred 57 times in the history of this country. The last time it happened 4 years ago, as Joe Biden presided over the joint session in Congress, it took 35 minutes. Today, it has been utterly disrupted and taken off the rails by this violent show of force on Capitol Hill by the president's supporters waving Trump flags, the Confederate flag, and the Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag, along with many American flags, as Trump supporters besieged the Capitol, broke in, stormed the building, passed all efforts and manner of security to keep people out of the Capitol and not without going through security and proper protocols. In fact, they even breached the Senate chamber. And Steve Dorsey, if you could once again for our listeners describe the scene in the House chamber, where we saw the horrifying images of the doorkeepers and the sergeant-at-arms officials with their guns drawn.
Yes, four handguns, four men with handguns standing essentially face to face with a group of a mob of violent protesters trying to break into the House chamber. They had put furniture, what appeared to be almost a bench, on top of a desk. Anything they could find that was heavy to block that door, panes of it, this frosted glass, broken in the skirmish. And apparently, in this chaos, is apparently when we understand a woman was shot. The reports say she was shot in the neck and she was critically injured. And it appeared, according to video on social media, that she was she had a flag inside the Capitol when she was facing off in a group with Capitol Police. I should say how significant this is, Stephen. You're more of a history buff than I am, but this is, I think, the most significant breach of the Capitol since what, the British stormed Washington in the War of 1812?
Arguably, although you might want to look, there might be some examples in the 1950s with there were Puerto Rican independent protesters who actually, I think if you were to dig into this, I think at one point explosives were used, low-grade explosives were used at that point for that cause. But certainly this is on the list, and I think it tops the list, frankly, of some of the worst examples of violence to take place on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. It has been roundly condemned. Go ahead, Steve Dorsey.
And I should say that there was at least one, what police are calling an improvised explosive device, found on Capitol Hill, not far from the Capitol building. It's unclear whether that was operational or some kind of decoy or some kind of threat only. But we know police say they rendered it safe. And we do know that the destruction on Capitol Hill has also been extensive. I'm looking at pictures from our producer for CBS, Susan Harmon, of media gear destroyed at sites where TV crews usually report from. We are hearing about, of course, more windows broken. And also a lot of security reinforcements coming now. We're learning from Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland that state is sending 500 National Guards members. We had reported earlier that D.C. was requesting 200 National Guards members authorized by the federal government. Of course, more security forces coming from the ATF and from the state of Virginia as they try to get a grip on what to do for the rest of the night.
Well, it seems to have taken about 3 hours, maybe 3.5 hours, but it looks like Capitol Police right now have the situation under control, or increasingly under control. We see the Capitol Police have cleared out both the east front and the west front of the Capitol, and they appear to be standing in line with a perimeter that is designed to prevent the mob from coming back into the Capitol building. And the effort again is on, as Steve Dorsey has mentioned, to try to allow a safe situation so that the members of the House and Senate can get back to the constitutional business of counting the electoral votes. And it just is a sort of an emblem of, or crystallization of, the sad and historic nature of today's events to have a sense of how it's being viewed overseas. And this really just makes your heart drop. This is from the Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson. He tweets, quote, "Disgraceful scenes in U.S. Congress. The United States stands for democracy around the world, and now it is vital that there should be a peaceful and orderly transfer of power." Perhaps some advice from Boris Johnson, the leader of the UK, to his counterpart here in the United States. President Trump had a video statement today, which he sent about an hour ago, in which he urged his supporters to go home. He says, quote, "We have to have peace. We can't play into the hands of these people." Perhaps an indication that he sees or fears that Democrats might try to take some kind of political advantage from what is playing out today. But the president also said to his supporters, "I know your pain, I know your hurt." That followed the president-elect statement from Wilmington, in which he said that what was going on in Washington today was not protest, but rather insurrection. Also, he called it a painful reminder that democracy is fragile. Debbie Dingell, a Democrat congressman from Michigan, who is in the seat that her husband so famously held for more than half a century, says on Twitter that members have been told the Capitol is secure. We've been told, she says, the camp is now secure. We must now get back to fulfilling our duty of certifying the 2020 election. Of course, the process is to count the electoral votes. And it's the Republicans who have been objecting to the electors being counted from certain states. Steve Dorsey, is there any indication that you have from where you are that the Capitol has been secured and things are about to get back to normal on Capitol Hill, such as they could be?
No, there's been no clear indication of that, but it could be coming soon. Remember, there's many groups spread out along Capitol Hill outside of the Capitol that police would have to go one by one to gather and reassemble them. So there's still quite a lot of work. This is as they're trying to control protesters outside. A separate force is needed, of course, to regain order and allow for operations to continue, reassemble groups of people on the inside. So there's two simultaneous battle fronts, if you will, unfolding on the Capitol. I should say, I just saw one video from our producer, Josh Gross, outside the Capitol, of how violent things have gotten as police clash with protesters. A man appears to have suffered, looks like a bullet wound, but I think it's more of an injury from a rubber bullet that struck the top of his lip. Blood has just poured through the top of his lip, and it almost looked like a part of his lip was hanging off as he stood there in shock. A protester, it looked like, with others trying to pour water on his face. That's how violent these clashes have become as protesters haven't left. Some of them have because it's gotten cold, because a curfew is about to take place in 15 minutes, but many are still gathered in crowds with flags just farther from the Capitol, facing these police in riot gear, with batons, with helmets, with pepper spray, with rubber bullets and flashbang grenades, David.
Steve Dorsey on Capitol Hill, he mentions the cold. It's about 39 degrees here in Washington, expected to get down into the mid-30s through the night, but not too much colder than that, but still cold enough if you're outside for quite a while. And some of these people have been outside since the president had his rally at midday today. He began speaking at about noontime and spoke for more than an hour and said he would be joining the protesters on their march from the Ellipse south of the White House to the Capitol, about a mile and a half east from where they had been. And he never did. He did not join the march. There was no provision made. His press staff was taken by surprise when he said he was going to join them. And instead, his only remarks since have been on Twitter, and in particular in a Twitter video in which he urged his supporters to go home. Now, that video has been taken down, we understand, by Facebook, which put out a statement. It reads this way. It says, "The violent protests in the Capitol today are a disgrace. We prohibit incitement and calls for violence on our platform. We are actively reviewing and removing any content that breaks these rules." So the video that the president put out for his supporters to see has, according to this statement, been taken down by Facebook. Just what else the president will have to say is an open question. I'm not sure we're going to hear from him again tonight, either in Twitter or in tweets or in any other manner. But the pool remains at the White House and has not been told that they have had a lid for the night so that they can go home. I want to turn the question to you, Steve Dorsey, about maybe you've had a chance to read into this today. I know you've been bounced around on Capitol Hill, but the political response or the response to the president, and it's not necessarily partisan, but because it crosses partisan lines, just the wholesale condemnation of the president across the board as a result of today's activities.
I mean, listen, we've heard from some progressive Democrats that what has unfolded today and the incitement they accuse the president of for these crowds is deserving of impeachment and removal by the Senate. We haven't heard that, though, from others, including Kevin McCarthy, the Republican minority leader in the House. And that's where I just want to interrupt. There's an announcement. Yep, there's an announcement going on in the building I'm in. What was that announcement?
Curfew.
There's a curfew. This is an announcement for the curfew that will be beginning in D.C. in about 12 minutes. As it appears, they're warning over a loudspeaker everyone on Capitol Hill, where we continue to be, to be mindful of that and to go home if you don't.
Understandable and important, and in fact something that frankly you, Steve Dorsey, and anyone else who's working at the Capitol needs to consider, and I'm sure that that'll all work itself out in the end. But in the meantime, let's continue talking about, you were mentioning the progressive Democrats are talking about maybe acting to seek to remove this president in his final 14 days in office.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, if Democrats do fulfill the projection of winning control of the Senate, that is a very real possibility. But obviously, there could still be legal challenges to that, and recounts. Either way, Republican leadership's under what happened. But they didn't necessarily, to my vantage point, take a strong stance against the president. We do know that they have advised the president to make more public his condemnation of these actions. And we did see a recorded statement, and we did see some tweets, but that perhaps isn't as satisfying to members of his own party as they would like. Perhaps something like a live address to the country would be more appropriate in some of their views, but we do see, as you said, social media take action targeting his social media posts, and in fact, Twitter chosen to disable commenting and perhaps liking feature on some of these posts, at least one of these posts, to limit inciting any violence.
From our Pat Milton, who leads our investigative unit, she reports that federal law enforcement officials are saying that there have been two explosive devices found today, both of them rendered safe by the FBI and Capitol Police. Two suspected explosive devices is how they're phrasing it at the FBI. The investigation is ongoing. So we had heard, you had reported this earlier, Steve Dorsey, that one of these suspected explosive devices was rendered safe outside the Republican National Committee on Capitol Hill. We don't have any specific information, as far as I know, on where the second device was. But another emblem of just how dangerous the situation was has been today on Capitol Hill.
Exactly, and you know, this is a large area, right? Several blocks to the east of downtown Washington, and already streets along the mall were closed today. And now the metro is shutting down. If you're out and you don't have a clear, defined reason by the mayor to be out, you could be actually subject to the curfew and its enforcement. That's unusual for D.C. Because we've seen curfews before, namely over the summer, and they weren't necessarily enforced. It was more of a warning to the protesters, but they weren't enforced. And I should also say that this is all occurring. They haven't made much of a sense of this in the backdrop of a pandemic. And even in my own experience evacuating the U.S. Capitol building, there were about probably 12 of us stuffed into an elevator. And, you know, pandemic safety obviously kind of goes out the window when physical safety is paramount. But you're seeing these crowds gather outside together in very close quarters, in very personal ways. And this is the type of year 2021 has become, as we enter it with violence set amid a pandemic in a city like Washington, that most of it now is locked down.
At certain points, judgment calls have to be made, right? What safety measures matter more? Is it COVID safety or is it physical safety? And you're absolutely right, Steve Dorsey. Sometimes you have to go in one direction when you understand and respect the reasons for the other. What we're told is that the Capitol has been declared secure by Capitol Police nearly 4 hours after the violent pro-Trump protesters, the demonstrators, the marauders, as I've been calling them today, broke into the Capitol and disrupted the proceedings, actually even breaching the Senate chamber, and at a certain point taking over the president's chair in the Senate chamber where the presiding officer sits. The it all started today with the president holding a rally. It actually started weeks ago when he started to tweet that he wanted his supporters to come to Washington. It would be wild, he said. Remember that, Steve Dorsey? He hoped it for a wild scene here in Washington. Well, we certainly had one today.
Go ahead. He got what he had anticipated, yes.
Right. And the president gave his remarks on the ellipse today, and in fact he was joined by or preceded by his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who said, and this is a line that I think will live in infamy, "Let's have trial by combat," as he explained how he believed that the election has been stolen from President Trump and that Vice President Pence had some sort of unwritten power to reject the electors from the states that the president claims he won, but of course the tallies show that Joe Biden won. And the president publicly called on Vice President Pence to do as I just described, reject the electoral votes, and he said that Pence has the absolute right to do it, and said that Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. While President Trump was speaking, the joint session was just convening, and Steve Dorsey, you were on Capitol Hill at about just before 1 o'clock Eastern time when the Vice President issued an extraordinary 3-page letter rejecting what the president had been saying.
Exactly. He said his role as the president of the Senate, as the presiding officer for the joint session, is largely ceremonial, prescribed and detailed in the Constitution in a very limited way. In fact, he was caught on a hot mic asking another senator whether his statement had been sent out yet, trying to make it clear to the public that he will not fulfill the president. I think apart from the violence, Stephen, politics now are very concerning, because the last 12 hours have changed the Republican Party fundamentally. They're likely no longer going to be in control of the Senate, not going to be in control of the House, obviously. So with a democratically controlled Congress, a democratically controlled executive branch, they can have a lot more space to operate, and Republicans could be blaming the president for their losses in Georgia for that, with the party fractured. We heard that in Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader's, the outgoing Senate Majority Leader's statement criticizing these objections led by some conservatives, including Trump ally Texas Senator Ted Cruz. So if they do reconvene Congress, will they continue with these objections that we're expecting to take 12 to 15 hours of procedures, up to 2 hours of just debate for each of these objections, and a handful of key seats that Republicans were planning to object to? Will that lead to further division? And when will Republicans unite and perhaps shun the man and the head of the party, essentially, that perhaps led to its own demise on this fateful day that is fractured and is in jeopardy of its own future here in Washington?
You're asking profound questions, Steve, that I think will be answered in the next several hours, because we do expect that the House and Senate will, in some measure, reconvene. At least that's the hope that's been expressed on the part of many in the rank and file we've been speaking with this evening. The question that Steve Dorsey poses is one that we're going to be focused on for the rest of the night, which is, are the Republicans going to continue to force their objections? Because the debate had just really begun in the House and Senate. Remember, the procedure calls for 2 hours of debate for every objection that's raised for a particular state. They had gone, you described this earlier, Steve Dorsey, it was Alabama, Alaska, and then Arizona. They objected to Arizona, and that forced the breakdown of the joint session, and the debate had gone under. And that's when things really started to disintegrate.
And you'll recall, Stephen, as you have noted this among our news organization, that these types of days, these tallying of the electoral votes, only last something like a half hour, usually?
Well, in the case of 2017, when Joe Biden presided over the electoral count, which led to Donald Trump's inauguration, it lasted 35 minutes. It was a pro forma, perfunctory thing where no objections were raised. I mean, this is really meant to be a ceremonial ministerial process, and the fact that it was going to be the last stand of Trump supporters and backers in the Congress was supposed to be the symbolic demonstration on behalf of Trump supporters all across the country. But what happened instead was that the situation just became physically difficult, and it led to these the manifestation of that energy and anger in the Capitol in a violent and destructive way. What we have seen is destruction of government property and really the desecration of the Capitol. The Capitol Police appear to have the situation in control right now, and now it's just a matter of time, it seems, as to when the House and Senate will conduct the people's business of counting electoral votes. Our coverage continues. I'm Stephen Portnoy.
CBS News Special Report. Here's correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Well, it seems to be under control now on Capitol Hill. The Capitol Police have cleared the east front and west front of the Capitol, where a band of marauders had overtaken the Capitol building and broken in into the rotunda and just outside the House chamber, actually inside the Senate chamber. CBS's Steve Dorsey is with us from Capitol Hill. And Steve, the word has gone out to Capitol Hill that the building is now secure, so I guess it's just a matter of time as to when the House and Senate get back into session.
Yeah, in fact, we just heard an announcement blared across Capitol Hill that a curfew is going to be in effect, and now is in effect as police cleared the Capitol, and they're trying to, according to top lawmakers in both the House and the Senate, resume legislative business. Things have been destroyed, including doors, windows on Capitol Hill, so it's not clear if they'll return to those exact chambers. They could operate somewhere else. They could do it in some other fashion. But it seems like, especially Republicans, they want to get back to work in this joint session that's tallying the electoral votes. But it's not clear how and when, because police on the inside of this perimeter, where I am, still have to go room to room and reassemble these groups of people, including the lawmakers that are huddled for their own safety in protected areas of the Capitol complex guarded by police.
Steve Dorsey has been with us all afternoon as we have been monitoring the situation on Capitol Hill. Steve was evacuated from his perch in the House Radio and Television Correspondents Gallery at a certain point when the Capitol Police felt it was necessary to clear everybody out, and it was a very tense scene at a certain point. Here's what it sounded like when the situation in the House chamber got very tense. Now, Zach Hudak, who took these pictures, tells us that crack you just heard was gunfire. Members of the House were told to evacuate the scene. They left their belongings, which are scattered all over the 435 seats there in the House chamber. And that was just some of the chaotic scene that played out this afternoon in the House chamber and in the Senate chamber, a similar scene. It was even more dramatic because it was actually breached by some of these violent demonstrators. Let's get a recap of the situation at this hour from our colleagues here at CBS News.
CBS News Special Report. Washington, D.C. police are being aided by members of the National Guard at the U.S. Capitol after protesters violently entered the Capitol building, forcing lawmakers to leave their... There have been tear gas canisters and percussion grenades used by law enforcement. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia wants to resume the Electoral College certification process.
We're going to go back and do our business. We're going to go back and do our business
in the Capitol
tonight.
Building.
Well, we sure hope so. We'll say whatever it takes. These thugs aren't running us off.
President-elect Biden suggested Mr. Trump amped up the emotions by addressing some of the protesters earlier.
The words of a president matter. No matter how good or bad that president is.
The president, in a taped statement, raised his election complaints again, but told the protesters, go home.
This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people.
A 6 p.m. curfew in Washington, D.C. about to go into effect in 10 minutes. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Futterman.